Hi, everybody. My name's Kimberly, and I am a food addict. And just to give a little background, when I came into OA, I was about 20, 25 pounds heavier than I am now. I'm 140. I'm 5'8". My lowest weight has been 120, and my highest weight has been 170. And what I found out in this program is, I have a disease, physical, mental, and spiritual. And, you know, for me, my food addiction played out in anorexia, being on the low end. I was into deprivation and restricting, and I also was a compulsive eater. So once I put sugar, flour, or other substances into my body, I couldn't stop when I started. And my weight went up to 170, and I did lose some weight before I came into program, but that was, I used control. I used a lot. I used the binging and starving cycle to control my weight. I used compulsive exercise. Found out I was an exercise bulimic. But I always find talking about myself and sharing about myself very difficult, and that's a big part of my disease, is that fear of other people's opinions and fear that I'm not good enough. And, I think before I even picked up food, like those feelings were present, and when I was a little kid, I was just filled with fear. You know, I found it very difficult to, I was very quiet, very shy. Found it very difficult to get out of myself, always worried about what other people thought of me. And in my home, there was addiction, and today I know that, it's not about blame. It was just what was happening, and there was a lot of rage and a lot of anger. And I learned to stuff my feelings. And I learned it wasn't okay to express feelings. And so I didn't know what to do with them when I had them. And I lived with that fear and that anxiety. And and when I found food, it was, I think at a young age I was attracted to sugar, and I can't say that, when I think back that it comforted me, or it was just there. And I had an abnormal relationship with food right from the start. I mean, I would eat, out of the sugar bowl. I would just, I was looking for relief, and, on a conscious or unconscious level, I just couldn't stand the feelings inside, and I didn't know, there was nobody to talk to about them. And I used, I was very active too. I was a very, and my weight didn't show. I was constantly in motion. And I think part of that was because I just didn't want to be in my own skin. And so food was very comforting, and, being really busy. So I didn't, and it was very much in my head, very much into fantasy and daydreaming and anything to get me out of reality. Like, it was so painful to be, who I was. Like, I wanted to be somebody different. If I was just somebody different, that was going to make it better. Because I knew you didn't like me, and I knew it was very scary in my family. And, I from a young age, I developed this belief that, I wasn't good enough, and that I had to try harder to be good enough, and I had to, be good and be perfect. And that was, if I was perfect, then my mother wouldn't be upset and my father wouldn't be upset, and, because it was my fault. Like, I took on this huge responsibility at a young age, and it was just overwhelming. Like, I just didn't know what to do with it. And weight and food weren't an issue until I hit about, 11, puberty, and I had a lot of fears growing up. I think that's, instead of being able to express, what I was afraid of, I think it came out in being sick. So I got attention when I was sick. If I ate all my food, I ate everything that they put in front of me, because that, I got attention. My parents loved the fact that I ate everything. And, but I got attention by when I was sick. My mother would be very comforting and loving to me, and that's what I was looking for, but I didn't know that that's what I was missing, and I didn't know that that was, I certainly couldn't ask for it or speak up and or say that I was scared or say that I, was afraid about going to school, so I would just, pretend I was sick. And But I started developing these phobias and these fears, and very, you know, exaggerated. And when I was 11, I think that's when my body image issues started developing. And you know, I didn't develop as fat. I mean, other girls were, you know, kind of developing, and I, you know, like, I was a thin whale. Like, I just, you know, it was like I was a tomboy, and, you know, I was very self-conscious about wanting, you know, to be noticed by boys, and just felt very different. And I started, I thought I had breast cancer, and I'm 11, you know, and I'm terrified to tell my mother, and I'm convinced I have, you know, because there's something wrong. And, you know, she brought me to the doctor, and, you know, and I wasn't, you know, because she didn't think that I would believe her, and which I probably wouldn't. But, you know, I was developing on one side, you know, and, but it was like I didn't know. Like, I didn't understand what was happening to my body. And I think from that point, like, I was like, I realized that my body's doing things that I have no control over. And a lot of my disease was about control. Like, if I could just control my environment, my body, what I, you know, like other people, then I would feel safe. Then I would be okay. Then, you know, like, you know, like that was going to change the inside. Like, I just had this, you know, like it was up to me, you know, because nobody was going to help me. You know, nobody, you know, if I, you know, like I knew I couldn't ask my parents because, you know, I'd probably get in trouble, or that my father was never around, and my mother just, you know, was, you know, I just had that fear. And I, you know, so I started relying on myself, like, to figure it out. And, you know, like, I just put up this wall around me, you know, like, I don't need anybody's help, you know, I'm going to do it myself. Because I was afraid of that rejection. I was afraid of that, you know, like, you know, people aren't going to, you know, help me. And so I started, you know, like 13, 14, I started noticing my body was changing. It made me very uncomfortable. So I started exercising, and I started compulsively exercising. And I was obsessed with being perfect. And I would, you know, I saw that my father would notice other women, which made me, you know, I question that, but that's a whole other issue. And, you know, and I would, like, pour through magazines and cut out pictures of women who were, you know, like these thin little models, and I'd put them up, and I'm like, okay, that's how, you know, like, I had these measurements. Like, I would measure, you know, weigh and measure myself before program. It was like, okay, am I the perfect measurements? Because then I'm going to get the attention. Then I'm going to be approved of. Then everything's going to be okay. And I could never get that right weight on the scale, because whenever I weigh myself, like, I would always, you know, like, if I had gained weight or if I lost weight, like, it was never good, you know, it just never felt right, and that would determine my mood for the day. And so I was very obsessed with trying to control. And so I started compulsively exercising, had a ritual of, you know, compulsive, you know, just getting up in the morning. And and my weight, you know, like, I was underweight, and I would look in the mirror and think, I need to lose weight, I'm fat. You know, like, these were the messages that I was, you know, giving myself. And in all this time, you know, it was still, like, the difficulty in relating to other people. And my mother at the time was going, you know, she was dieting, and so I started dieting with her. And I didn't really need to be, you know, it was just that, you know, that obsessiveness in my head, you know, that distorted thinking and the perception that something was wrong and I have to fix it. And this is another distorted, you know, insane thought, but when I started drinking like my junior, senior year in college, and I always say that that saved me, because when I got to college, I really started drinking. And when I drank, I could not control what I ate. And that, you know, I was underweight, and then I started gaining weight, and I just kept gaining. And you know, but it was just one, you know, it was like another addiction. You know, it was like food, alcohol, and men. You know, because when I drank, I would eat, and when I would drink and eat, then I would pick up, you know, men, and I would get into situations. So my life was just very much looking for relief, you know, in all these external substances. Once I put food in my mouth, once I put alcohol in my mouth, I could not stop. And I couldn't say what was going to happen, and you know, consequences happened, you know, because of my drinking and because of my eating. And I couldn't focus. I couldn't, you know, show up for people. And I was still trying to control it, you know, with the exercise. And I would get injured, and the doctor would say, "Don't exercise." And to me, that was like, you know, I couldn't imagine my life without exercise, you know, because that was what, you know, I thought was helping me. And, you know, so it was just this insane cycle of, you know, I was compulsively exercising, I was binging, I was drinking, then I tried to stop drinking, and I got 3 jobs, and I was, I had 4, like, part-time jobs in college, and they were all in food establishments. And my major was, I ended up transferring into a 2-year program in food service management. So I was cooking, and I was working in catering, and I was, you know, and I wanted to be a nutritionist, you know, because I had all the answers. I knew what you, you know, I knew what healthy eating was. So, like, my life was just, you know, totally surrounded by thinking about food, trying to, you know, control my weight, thinking I knew how to tell everybody else what they should be eating, and, you know, and what I heard when in this program was that when you try to control, you're out of control. And I ended up getting sober. I stopped drinking, and that was my first introduction to a 12-step program. And I'm very grateful that, you know, somebody was put in my life and they told me their story. And for me, like, recovery is about one alcoholic, one food addict, you know, sharing with another, you know, because I never knew that there was anybody else that felt the way I did. You know, I thought I was alone. I thought, you know, you possibly couldn't understand what's going on inside me, and I would never dare tell you. So this woman shared her story with me, and, you know, and it's like the denial of the disease. Like, I'm different. You know, like, I knew I had a problem with drinking. Like I knew I had a problem with food, but I wasn't, like, you know, I wasn't like you. I didn't have, you know, like, I could control it. Like, I just had a problem, and I can just put it down. And, you know, so I eventually got into AA, but and that's when my weight really went up, because I could only focus on getting sober, and I just started eating. You know, they suggest, you know, if you'd want to not drink, eat sugar, so I did. And I, you know, I relied on myself, you know, with I knew when I got sober, I knew I was powerless over, I remember saying every day, I'm powerless over alcohol, food, and men, you know. And I knew that, but I just, but I still thought I could control it. And I went to a nutritionist and tried to give up sugar. And I, you know, so it was like I using my own, you know, still relying on myself, using my own methods. And, you know, no matter if it was, I was eating healthy foods, you know, I was binging on those. And for me, that, you know, to really get that I, you know, have a disease, it's like, you know, I thought that this, you know, like food, I knew that alcohol could kill me, but I really didn't think that food could kill me. Like, I just thought, you know, what's the big deal about food, you know? So I gained weight, and I ended up in the emergency room 3 times, and each one was like this wake-up call. And the first time, I had no idea what was wrong. I was, like, in total denial. I wasn't in program yet, and it was, you know, because of food poisoning. Now, I had binged, you know, the 3 nights before, and then I had this huge turkey dinner with friends, and then we went out. You know, it was just this whole series of just binging, and there was a lot of emotion, too, that there was a lot of emotional stuff stirred up around that weekend. And I just remember, I'm in the emergency room, and the doctor's like, what, you know, what happened? And I didn't tell him what I ate, you know. I just, I'm like, it must have been the turkey, you know, like. And then the second time, I was in program, and I had been binging, and this is where my denial, you know, like, I had been binging on, I had broken my abstinence, but, you know, here's the, you know, the distorted, you know, delusional thinking that, you know, well, it's not on you know, I didn't break my abstinence on flour and sugar. So I was binging on other foods, on quantities and healthy foods, and I didn't think it could hurt me. And I ended up in the emergency room, very impacted intestines, and, you know, and I knew, like, this time I knew that it was because of my food addiction. And I'll just jump ahead, because I'm. The third time I ended up, it was right before I got in, back into program, you know, in this 90-day community, working the program that I work today. And I was a night eater. I couldn't stop. You know, I'd get up in the middle of the night, like clockwork, you know, at the same time, and I would just, you know, I'd have signs on the wall. I would just do all these different, you know, again, like, how can I control it? How can I stop myself from eating? And slammed into my open closet door in the dark, gave myself a concussion. It was Thanksgiving morning, 5 a.m., and I'm in the emergency room. And that was, you know, like, I was awake, you know, like, I knew, you know, although, like, I intellectually got it, you know, like, it was like this huge, like, okay, you know, I am powerless. And I kept eating, you know, like, I kept eating. And then finally I surrendered, like, 5 months later, went to a meeting, and it was just like, for me, it was like being honest. Like, I hadn't been honest. I was lying to myself, and I didn't have a sponsor. I was lying to myself. I was, you know, trying to work this program on my own. And, you know, I'm grateful. I've been free from flour and sugar for the last 6 years. I claim almost 4 years of abstinence, because there was a point where I was very dishonest with my sponsor. I lied to her. I was really lying to myself. And, you know, because it wasn't going to hurt her. It was going to hurt me. And, you know, I found out that I can't. You know, I just went downhill. Like, I had kept something from her, didn't tell anybody about what I had done with my food. And, you know, that doesn't go, you know, that stays, you know. And I was in a meeting, and this woman was sharing about something very similar, and this is 5 months later, and the thought just, like, sprang into my mind, and I thought I was going to eat. You know, like, I went home, I called somebody, I'm like, I told them, I said, this is what I did, and she's like, call your sponsor, and I'm grateful, because that freed me. Like, that was the freedom, you know, like, I don't have to carry this secret, you know, and I surrendered, and I'm still, you know, I still feel like I am surrendering to the fact that I am a food addict, that I'm powerless over food. My life is unmanageable, eating or not eating. You know, in abstinence, my life is unmanageable. And I'm coming to realize that because I love this program because there are disciplines that I've adopted, that I choose to do. I weigh and measure my food. That gives me boundaries. That helps me to know that I'm eating enough. You know, because I never, you know, when I would starve, I always thought I was eating enough, or I, you know, I didn't want to eat. So it's like I eat what I write down, and it gives me the boundaries. And then, you know, I connect with other people through the phone calls. Writing is an incredible tool for me because it puts the reality down on paper so that it's not in my head. So I'm not, you know, I don't have all those distortions. It's like, what are the facts? What's the truth? And I write it down. You know, and I can work the tools, but what I'm learning is that if I'm not changing, if I'm not working the steps, and I thought I was working the steps, that my life is still unmanageable because I'm relying on myself. And, you know, it's like, okay, God, you know, you've got the food, but I'm going to deal with it every other area of my life. And, you know, I need to surrender every area of my life to God. And I'm working the steps in a step study right now, and I'm working on my fourth step, and I'm just seeing, you know, my whole life I've tried to manage and I've tried to fix and, you know, fix all my problems, and and then I blamed everybody else, and, you know, through my writing, I'm seeing that, you know, I've lived with a lot of distorted beliefs, and they've driven me, you know, that's, you know, I'm starting to understand why I act the way I do, because I feel threatened by everybody's behavior, and it's, you know, like, I'm realizing that, you know, what people do it doesn't have anything to do with me, and that, but it really is about having a relationship with God and being able to surrender. And, you know, it's like I don't have the answers. And I don't know. I guess where I'm at now is, you know, I'm in a sin body, and it's the emotional and spiritual recovery that I need, because I can be sin and I can be crazy if I'm just, you know, still relying on myself and trying to get through life by, you know, trying harder. And so I'm realizing I don't know a lot, like I thought I knew everything, and it's very humbling because I have this incredible amount of pride. Like, you know, I'm so intellectual, but it's not about, like, my sponsor keeps reminding me, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's about gaining spiritual and divine knowledge. And I can't think myself different. Like, I can't understand it through my mind. It's got to come down to my heart. And so I'm just grateful that, it's progress, not perfection, that, that I have the physical recovery and that there's hope that, that I am, I'm learning to identify what the truth really is in my life. And I guess I'm just going to end it there because it's 20 minutes. Thank everybody for being here.